You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM proudly presents The Rowan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. And now, the Rowan Radio News Team.
Good morning and welcome to The Rowan Report here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM. I'm Katie Francis with the Rowan Radio News Team. Some of this week's headlines include the continuing unrest in Belarus and college students reacting to life on campus during the coronavirus pandemic. But first, here's your national news recap for the week of August 23rd. There are many reports now of college campuses across the U.S. dealing with coronavirus clusters. In New York, the governor authorized a policy for a mandatory shift to online classes if a cluster breaks out on a campus in the state. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum has the details.
With roughly half of the states experiencing clusters of positive cases on college and university campuses, Governor Andrew Cuomo has no illusions of New York's academic institutions being immune to the trend.
We expect it.
He and public health officials in the state set a threshold for campuses that would require a switch to all remote learning for 2 weeks.
If a college has 100 cases or a number of cases equal to 5% of their population or more.
After that time period, the situation on a campus would then be reassessed. Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
Recovery is underway along parts of the Texas-Louisiana Gulf Coast after Hurricane Laura made landfall as a Category 4 storm overnight on Wednesday in Cameron Parish. Correspondent Clayton Neville says damage in Texas is less widespread than anticipated.
Lake Charles, Louisiana, took the brunt of the storm with demolished structures and blown out windows. In Texas, which too was in the path of the storm, Governor Greg Abbott says damage was primarily limited to downed trees.
We dodged a bullet.
The governor now pledging assistance to the hardest hit areas.
Texas and Texans stand ready to help our neighbors over in Louisiana.
This while remnants of the storm continue to track to the northeast.
Hurricane Laura is the strongest hurricane to hit Louisiana in more than a century. A large chemical fire sent a dangerous cloud over Lake Charles, Louisiana, hours after the eye of Hurricane Laura passed directly over the city. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says the fire was burning Thursday morning just outside of the city and advised storm survivors to shelter in place. The Wisconsin officer who shot a black man, Jacob Blake, 7 times in the back, has been identified as Officer Rustin Chesky, a 7-year veteran of the Kenosha Police Department. He shot Blake while holding onto his shirt after officers first unsuccessfully used a taser as he leaned into his vehicle during an incident Sunday evening. Blake's 3 children were in the car at the time, and the most recent report states that the 29-year-old man is now paralyzed from the waist down, with 1 gunshot wound damaging his spinal cord. CNN released the police's version of the situation, stating that the situation began with police receiving a call from a woman. She said that her boyfriend was present and was not supposed to be on the premises, took the complainant's keys, and refused to leave. In this clip from Westwood One, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call details the confrontation between Blake and police officers.
During the investigation following the initial incident, Mr. Blake admitted that he had a knife in his possession, and DCI agents, that's the Division of Criminal Investigation, recovered a knife from the driver's side floorboard of Mr. Blake's vehicle. A search of the vehicle located no additional weapons.
2 people were shot to death and another was wounded during a 3rd night of protests in Kenosha, Wisconsin, over the police shooting of Blake. According to the Washington Post, 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse was apprehended and charged with first-degree intentional homicide on Wednesday. Wisconsin State Representative David Bowen attended the protests on Tuesday night. He says police were not paying any attention to several armed agitators he believes were there to harass the protesters.
What I saw last night was a number of individuals riding around in pickup trucks that clearly were white supremacists. They were armed. They were destroying property. They were vandalizing vehicles, including mine, including other protesters. They were there to agitate and to hurt protesters.
Groups that had taken to Kenosha streets with long guns were nowhere to be seen early Thursday, following somber protests and no widespread unrest for the first night since the weekend police shooting of Jacob Blake. Kenosha County Sheriff David Beth believes the peaceful protesters are the true residents of Kenosha.
They did exactly what they wanted to do as far as the protest to make people know their concerns, but they did it without violence. And I think the people that were here last night were Kenosha's people. We didn't see streams of cars coming in from out of Kenosha County. A huge part of me thinks that a lot of our issues start when different people with different agendas come here to Kenosha.
I'm Katie Francis, and that was your national news.
And I'm Anthony Messina, bringing you the final edition of The World of Politics. In our lead story this morning, a recap of the Republican National Convention. Day one saw Trump himself make a surprise appearance and speech after the party officially renominated Donald Trump as their presidential candidate and Mike Pence as their VP pick. The speech that grabbed most of the viewers' attention was that of Kimberly Guilfoyle, girlfriend of Don Jr. She gave a ferocious speech, taking on the failed culture war strategy with lie after lie of Biden being a socialist, wanting to defund the police, and so on. Guilfoyle, in her speech, said, quote, "Biden, Harris, and the rest of the socialists will fundamentally change this nation," end quote. Biden and Harris are not socialists, no matter how many times Fox News and the Trump campaign says they are. Day two was a Trump family gathering of sorts, with Melania and Tiffany making speeches defending their husband and father, respectively. Trump pardoned a man convicted of bank robbery, presided over a naturalization ceremony, and Mike Pompeo broke U.S. law, according to NPR, by becoming the first U.S. top diplomat to participate in a political convention in modern history. He taped a speech in Jerusalem, where he was on a taxpayer-funded trip as part of his duties as Secretary of State. Eric Trump also took on the culture war by decrying the peaceful protesters as un-American for daring to simply kneel for the national anthem, and lies about how the Democrats apparently want to take "under God" out of our Pledge of Allegiance. But in a display of hypocrisy, Eric Trump said, quote, "They want an America where your thoughts are censored if they do not align with their own," meanwhile complaining about opposing viewpoints he once censored. Day three saw Pence headline the third night by making his acceptance speech for re-election of the vice presidency. Pence's entire speech can be summed up in his opening sentence, "The hard truth is, you won't be safe in Joe Biden's America." Pence also lied, as usual, saying that Biden will defund the police, which Biden has explicitly stated on numerous occasions he does not support that idea. And finally this morning, Wednesday saw the arrest of Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old murderer who traveled across state lines with an AR-15 set on killing peaceful protesters in Kenosha, Wisconsin, after protests erupted over the death of yet another innocent black man in America, this time one Jacob Blake. Rittenhouse was seen roaming the streets, chatting with cops who gave him water, and eventually shot three protesters, two fatally, as Mother Jones reported. The cops were cozying up to white supremacist terrorists while brutalizing peaceful protesters demanding action as this disgusting pandemic of police brutality continues to take lives. And to top this off, Tucker Carlson on Fox News defended the murderer on his show, saying, "How shocked are we that 17-year-olds with rifles decided that they had to maintain order when no one else would?" Calls for Tucker to be fired for defending this terrorist have flooded Twitter. The Kenosha police chief, Daniel Miskinis, would rather blame the peaceful protesters for being out past curfew than lay blame on Rittenhouse, who murdered them in cold blood, as CNN reported on Thursday. And that was The World of Politics. I'm Anthony Messina for The Roan Report.
I'm Jack Brennan with your international news. On Thursday, the Christchurch, New Zealand gunman who opened fire in a mosque was sentenced to life in prison without parole. The shooter, who killed 51 Muslim worshippers and injured dozens more last March, is the first person in New Zealand's history to be imprisoned without the possibility of release. Believed to be at least partially responsible for the severity of his sentencing, the killer's hate-filled message board posts and live stream of the shooting helped to outline his reasoning for the attack. As a result of the attack, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern banned semi-automatic weapons and started a federal gun buyback program. In Afghanistan, nearly 80 people are dead and countless more are injured after flash floods and heavy rains appeared overnight. Charikar, a town just north of Kabul, saw entire city blocks flooded and a number of homes destroyed. Left in the water's wake was a mix of mud and debris, as well as numerous unidentified corpses, as the death toll is expected to continue rising through the weekend. These floods are just the latest blow dealt to Afghanistan, with both the coronavirus and recent Taliban attacks ravaging the nation. Political uncertainty continues to plague Belarus following a highly controversial election earlier this month. Facing his biggest challenge in 26 years of rule, President Alexander Lukashenko is looking to Russia for help. According to Lukashenko, he and Russian President Vladimir Putin have been communicating about the situation unfolding in Belarus and the international community's response. Though NATO denies a buildup of troops in Poland, Latvia, and Lithuania, Lukashenko warns that the coalition plans to invade in order to support anti-government demonstrators and remove him from power. At the same time, Vladimir Putin has warned both French President Emmanuel Macron and German Chancellor Angela Merkel that foreign interference in Belarus would be unacceptable to Russia. As reported last week on the Rowan Report, Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny was rushed to the hospital after being possibly poisoned. It has now been confirmed by the German hospital treating Navalny that he was poisoned by a selection of drugs meant to attack the nervous system. Though his life is not currently in danger, Navalny remains in a medically induced coma in intensive care. Doctors warn that even though his condition is not life-threatening and he is being treated with an antidote, the chance remains that there will be long-term effects on his health. Doctors in Russia initially attributed Navalny's rapidly failing health to a blood sugar imbalance, and paired with his team's request to be transferred to a different hospital being denied, it has only become more clear that this poisoning was politically motivated. In Peru, 13 people are dead after a stampede broke out at a nightclub operating against coronavirus restrictions. Under the country's state of emergency, the 120-person gathering was illegal, and the rush broke out after attendees tried to flee from police raiding the establishment. Six other people were injured as the partygoers attempted to leave through a single exit and stairwell. No firearms or tear gas were used by police during the raid, and the club's owners were detained the next day. I'm Jack Brennan, and that was your international news.
I'm Riley Meyer with your local news. College students around the tri-state area are getting back into the swing of things this new academic year, even as the COVID-19 pandemic continues. As a parent, Gina worries about outbreaks which are being reported from a number of campuses around the country.
Parents are going to start to say, what the heck am I doing here? Paying all this money for my kid to get sick? So yeah, I think something's going to happen. Something bigger.
Others wonder why tuition costs haven't come down with online learning becoming more prevalent, cutting down on the needed number of professors and class space. Colleges say they're spending more in terms of COVID-19 disinfection and safety, as well as new technology for online learning. Sarah says she's opted to learn from home this fall.
I don't really think I feel comfortable going just yet. I think there's going to be a large influx of students, of course, going back to school. And I think the numbers are going to spike.
This student explains ways campus life has changed.
If you want to go to the gym, you have to schedule a time. The student centers, they closed off. The library, they closed off. You still have the resources from the library, but you can't go sit in the library.
Sophia doesn't understand how colleges aren't saving money during online learning.
With one professor, maybe TAs to grade the papers, way more affordable situation than having the same class taught by how many different professors over and over again. You're paying less staff, you're not paying for space.
Healthy volunteers are needed for a COVID-19 vaccine trial in New Jersey. It's part of Moderna's research, which involves some 30,000 people at 89 testing sites across the country. Rutgers New Jersey Medical School and University Hospital in Newark are running the New Jersey trial. This is part of Phase 3 research, which is the final phase before FDA approval. New Jersey appears to be inching closer to getting indoor dining back up and running. Scott Pringle reports.
Governor Murphy's health team has said it's not looking for specific data indicators that would trigger the restart of indoor dining. But Governor Murphy says if coronavirus data stays as good as it is now, he hopes to allow indoor dining before September 15th. He also is hoping to allow movie theaters to reopen and thinks that'll be in sync with indoor dining. This comes as gyms are getting ready to reopen next week in New Jersey at 25% capacity. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New Jersey.
A response team out of New Jersey is headed to Louisiana to help residents deal with the Hurricane Laura, which made landfall there. Dozens of volunteers from New Jersey's FEMA, Urban Search and Rescue Team, left Wall Township early Thursday morning.
Probably a little stronger than the ones we've been to in the past couple of years.
We get a chance to help people.
They are bringing some 80,000 pounds of equipment to Baton Rouge. Members will get their temperatures checked and have other medical screening because of coronavirus. The team made up of doctors, engineers, and canine search teams will be helping in the rescue and recovery effort. The water at three New Jersey beaches could be hazardous for swimmers. New Jersey officials have discovered high levels of fecal bacteria at three beaches in Ocean County. The beaches at Seaside Park, Surf City, and La Valette will stay open, but advisories have been posted. Experts say the current bacteria is harmless, but it could mean other illnesses causing pathogens are in the water. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is signing an executive order that allows gyms to reopen on September 1st at 25% capacity.
When the doors reopen at our gyms, capacity will be limited to 25%. Fitness classes will also be allowed to resume, but their capacity must be limited.
He notes both people working out and employees are required to wear face coverings at all times. In addition, staff must keep detailed logs of who uses the facility in order to assist contact tracers in the event of an outbreak. Murphy's order also requires equipment be spaced out and properly sanitized. About a dozen students are suspended from Montclair State University following social distancing violations at an off-campus party. Liz Warner reports.
The suspension removes the students from their on-campus housing, and they're now expected to return home to quarantine for 14 days, after which they can return to class pending a negative COVID-19 test. Officials reported additional offenses will result in suspension not only from on-campus housing, but from the university itself. Montclair State had only just resumed its fall schedule Tuesday. Other Jersey schools like Rutgers and Princeton have nearly all online learning this fall, as schools throughout the tri-state continue to grapple with social distancing issues. Liz Warner, NBC News Radio, New York.
I'm Riley Meyer, and that was your local news.
That does it for the first half of the Rowan Report, wrapping up the entire week's national, political, international, and local news, along with thorough coverage on the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. We're going to take a quick break. Next up, we have your weekly sports, business, and entertainment news. Stay tuned right here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM. Welcome back to the Rowan Report. I'm Katie Francis, along with the Rowan Radio News Team.
And now it's time for your weekly entertainment recap with me, Jack Brennan. Well, it was a huge week for DC comic fans, with the DC Fandome event releasing huge information on the future of their films and TV shows. One of the most anticipated movies of 2021, the Justice League Snyder Cut, finally got a trailer, showing the beloved superhero team in a different version of their 2017 Justice League movie, that did not receive many good reviews with critics or fans. The DC Fandome also released updates on Wonder Woman 2, Aquaman 2, Dwayne Johnson's Black Adam movie, The Suicide Squad, and The Flash. But one of the most highly received trailers of the night was the new Batman film featuring Robert Pattinson. The cast of The West Wing is reuniting this fall to persuade everyone to vote in this November's election. The special will be aired on HBO Max and will help benefit Michelle Obama's When We All Vote campaign. The original cast, including Rob Lowe, Allison Janney, Richard Schiff, and Martin Sheen, will reprise their roles for the special, which will include additional guest appearances and a message from co-chair Michelle Obama. Britney Spears' sister, Jamie Lynn, has requested ownership of the singer's finances in the battle for Britney's huge estate. Britney's finances have been controlled by her father, James, for over a decade due to concerns about her mental health. However, back in 2019, James stepped aside from the role of legal conservator due to his own health problems. Jamie Lynn Spears has now requested control over her sister's affairs, although Britney's fans believe that she is being forced into this arrangement, hence the Free Britney campaigns across social media. R. Kelly was attacked by fellow inmates in his Illinois jail cell on Thursday. It was reported that Kelly was punched by another inmate while he was lying in bed. This incident comes 1 week before Kelly's attorneys are set to argue for the singer's release from prison in his Brooklyn federal trial, set to start at the end of September. Kelly has been in jail for over a year due to sex trafficking and racketeering charges. A Tiger King miniseries with NBC has officially been ordered, and it looks like they already found their Carol Baskin. SNL's Kate McKinnon will be cast as the rather odd tiger enthusiast from Netflix's hit documentary series Tiger King. Joe Exotic has yet to be cast, but there seems to be a huge list of contenders, including Dax Shepard and Edward Norton.
Vanessa Bryant posted a heartwarming message in honor of Kobe's 42nd birthday on Sunday. Vanessa thanked her late husband for teaching her how to be strong, featuring a picture of their three children, Natalia, Bianca, and Capri. It has been almost 7 months since Kobe tragically died in a helicopter crash, along with daughter Gigi. Many other friends of Kobe posted their tributes for what would have been his 42nd, including Justin Timberlake, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James. New to Netflix this week is a brand new teen drama Netflix original, All Together Now, as well as the Cobra Kai series, the sequel to the 1984 Karate Kid movie. New music this week includes brand new albums from Dua Lipa and Katy Perry, as well as new singles from Calvin Harris and The Weeknd, as well as Keith Urban and Selena Gomez. I'm Jack Brennan, and this has been your weekly entertainment recap, right here on Rowan Radio.
I'm Garrett Ely with your Rowan Report Sports Update. On Wednesday afternoon, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Orlando Magic decided not to play their scheduled Game 5 in protest of the recent events taking place in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The Bucks were the first team to choose to protest and not play following their decision. All games scheduled through Thursday were postponed due to player protest. On Wednesday night, all NBA players were invited to a meeting to discuss how the rest of the season would unfold. After the meeting, however, two additional meetings were made for Thursday morning, one for the players and one for the owners. The decision made on Thursday was to then restart the season sometime over the weekend. In the WNBA, they also decide to not play any of their scheduled games this week, and they are still scheduled to play this weekend's slate of games. The first team to not play for the WNBA was the Washington Mystics, who showed their support on the court Wednesday night for the protests against the recent police shooting of Jacob Blake by wearing a white t-shirt with a letter in Blake's name on the front and seven holes on the back, representing the number of times Blake was shot by a police officer on Sunday. The Washington Post reports that a former Washington football team executive instructed employees to create a behind-the-scenes video for owner Dan Snyder featuring clips of partially nude team cheerleaders pulled from a 2008 swimsuit calendar shoot. Snyder issued a statement Wednesday afternoon saying he was unaware of the allegations in the Post story and denied all information of a 10-year-old video. The Miami Marlins and the New York Mets did not play on Thursday as part of the widespread protest following the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin. The Mets and the Marlins briefly took the field in New York, and then just after Lewis Brinson stepped into the batter's box, both teams stepped out of their dugouts and stood in unison for 42 seconds of silence. Brinson then left a Black Lives Matter t-shirt on home plate, and then the two teams walked back into their clubhouses. I'm Garrett Ely with your Rowan Report Sports Update.
I'm Jack Brennan with your weekly business and technology update. The CEO of the hit app TikTok, Kevin Mayer, has stepped down from his role with the billion-dollar company. After news broke that the app could be banned by September 15th due to the Chinese government's supposed geo-tracking on the app, Mayer decided to step down. Microsoft is currently in talks to possibly buy ByteDance, TikTok's owner, in order to keep the app running in America. However, Mayer claims that he has not been involved in any of the talks with Microsoft, with him having left the company altogether. Vanessa Pappas, a 2-year ByteDance employee, has now taken the role as interim CEO. It appears as if, though, the PlayStation 5 is going to be near impossible to pre-order this year. Sony is limiting the people who can pre-order the PS5 to existing PlayStation users, although that doesn't even guarantee you a spot online. After reserving your pre-order spot, you'll receive a thank you on the webpage, although they are currently only sending invite emails to popular PlayStation users, meaning Sony will be basing your eligibility on your previous gaming experience. There will also be a limit of one system and two controllers per person. The PS5 is slated to be released this holiday season, although a price has still not been set. Jeff Bezos is now the first man to have a net worth of $200 billion. However, not everyone is as happy as Mr. Bezos. On Thursday, Amazon employees staged a Jeff Bezos protest, setting up a makeshift guillotine outside his home in Washington. The workers are asking for a $30 minimum wage, as well as hazard pay and personal protective equipment. Lord & Taylor, the first ever department store created in the U.S., is going out of business after an almost 200-year run. Lord & Taylor opened their first store in New York in 1826. However, the once high-end fashion company filed for bankruptcy on August 2nd, and will now be closing their doors for good. Call of Duty has released the trailer for their 17th game, Black Ops Cold War. The game is scheduled to be released on November 13th and will involve the tension between the U.S. and Russia during the 20th century.
Ronald Reagan is featured in the game's cinematic trailer, as well as the return of some beloved Call of Duty characters. I'm Jack Brennan, and this has been your weekly tech and business update, right here on Rowan Radio.
And that wraps it up for this week's edition of the Rowan Report, here on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS-FM. For the Rowan Radio News Team, I'm Katie Francis. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Rowan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. Be sure to join us every Saturday morning at 9:30 for another edition of The Rowan Report, exclusively here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.